All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to season 3 of the Trojans Talk OT podcast. My name is Mason. Woo! My name is Mason, and I'm going to be one of your new co-hosts. And as you heard just a second ago, I'm joined by...
Jada Cruz, you already know. Being co-host with Mason, so excited to be a podcast co-host with him this season.
Yeah, we're super excited to be running season 3. We hope to give you guys a good chunk of content for this upcoming fall and spring school year. And hopefully we can answer some of your dying questions, give you some new content, bring in some awesome guests. We really just hope to get you some really cool content during this semester. But we'd love to start by introducing ourselves. So I will take it away first, and then I'm going to pass it over to Jada. But my name is Mason. Of course, I'm an occupational therapy student at the University of Southern California. I am currently a first-year OT student going into my second year, which is super exciting.
Hey!
Yeah, that's right. We're going through it. We're going through it, which is really fun. I use he, him pronouns. And I'm actually from the East Coast. So I'm from all the way in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. That's where I was born and raised. Yeah. So I definitely traveled a bit to come to California. And fun fact about me, I am a BS to OTD student. So what that means is I'm a bachelor's student, a bachelor's to occupational therapy doctorate. So that's an accelerated program we offer here at USC, where you basically, if you're admitted, you're admitted from the start, and you go through an entire bachelor's degree in occupational science. And in your senior year, you go straight into the doctoral program. It's kind of like an integrated undergrad to grad program. So I have a lot of passion and pride for being part of that, which is really exciting. But yeah, nice. So I am in my first year of the grad school part, though. So I've gone through the undergrad. I graduated with my bachelor's. Super exciting. Yeah.
Does that make you a double Trojan?
I think it does.
I forget the... Yeah.
I'm sad because I don't get to be a triple Trojan. Because, like, in the past, like, when people get the master's in OT and then get the doctorate, now we just get the doctorate. So now I'm just a double, but I'm not a triple Trojan.
I mean, if you, in the future, try to do, like, a PhD or something. But, that's future Mason.
That's true. Then I could get the triple Trojan. Should I get a PhD just to become a triple Trojan?
I don't know. People should let us know. Should Mason get his PhD to be a triple Trojan?
Yeah. So let us know in the comments down below.
Do we even have comments?
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. As you can tell, guys, we are really getting into this, and it's a little bit of a learning curve. But we're really excited to like create this podcast for you guys. So we hope you bear with us if we ever have any technical difficulties or we're just, you know, figuring the whole thing out. But I hope you guys know that our heart's in it and we're really excited to be here.
Yes.
But some favorite occupations for me. I love swimming. I was actually a competitive swimmer, since I was 7 years old. So I've been a swimmer for a really long time, over 11 years.
So the Olympics? What happened?
So what happened with that is, you know, I've been getting this question a lot, you know, in this Olympic season.
Exactly.
People have been like, Mason, like, why aren't you there?
Why didn't we see you?
Like, why weren't you there? And really, the real reason was, is I'm too short, actually, for it.
That's what I tell everyone.
Yeah. So I'm 5'4". Not that there's a rule against being short, but in swimming, you know, you got to be tall to win the game. And unfortunately, you know, I wasn't tall, but I gave it my best. I gave it my all when I was a competitive swimmer. And you know what? I have pride in that. So I did a
good job. As you should. Round of applause for Mason.
Thank you. Do you have like a sound bar?
I know. Okay. That'll be the next thing we have is a sound machine.
Right.
I feel like
we need
a burr, and some claps. Burr, maybe like a
Oh, that'd be cute.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I'll pass it off to you though, Jada. Let's get to know you.
Okay. Well, hey everyone. Jada Cruz here. I am a current second year in the program, going into my third and final year in the doctorate program. So very excited to be ending my time, but also very sad, especially going into this third year, because me and my classmates will be all over the world. So a little sad to be, you know, Not with my classmates. Shout out to Cohort A. Miss you guys. Love you guys.
Oh my god, yes. I'm Cohort A too. Did you know that?
Oh, okay. So y'all already know. Cohort A, we really holding it down. But that's all I'm going to say. Shout out to the other cohorts. Y'all are great too. Groups.
Wait, we'll give them a background. In the OT program, they split you up into four cohorts. And that's like, you take classes with those same like 30, 40 people.
Yeah.
Throughout the grad program. So when we say Cohort A...
Yeah.
You know, some people say Cohort A is the best, you know. I wouldn't argue with that.
I don't, you know, if they're saying it, I'm not going to stop them. But right,
exactly.
It is what it is. But yeah, so I use she, her pronouns. And like Mason, I'm not from California. I am from Arkansas. I, however, do not have the luxury of saying I'm a double Trojan. I did my undergrad in Arkansas. Took a year off, did some real world experience stuff. And then, yeah, I just came to USC for the EOTD program. So just one Trojan. Is there like a single Trojan? No, we just say Trojan. Let's see. Some of my favorite occupations. I really love escape rooms. Like people close, like, I love escape rooms, but you can't do an escape room by yourself. I mean, like, sure, you could do, like, virtual ones, but it's, like, the in-person ones that are, you know, more fun. And not to brag, but I have successfully, like, got out of every escape room that I've done. I've done about 20.
Do you have, like, a rough estimate of how... Oh, 20. You've done about 20? That's cool. I've only done, I think, one ever. But it's fun. It's fun, though.
Nice.
Because you need a good... No, I've done two. I did a cool one, and it was, like, Atlantis, and you had to, like a trap door open, and, like, you went into Atlantis. It was, like,
ooh.
It was, like, fancy. Yeah.
I love those. I love those. Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Jada. So we're going to move on to our next question for the day to help you get everyone, all our listeners, start to get to know us a little bit. So the next question we're going to talk about is why each of us personally... decided on OT. And this can, you know, start from, you know, how you even found out about OT to begin with, and then kind of bring it into why you chose to become an OT, honestly. Do you want to start us off with this one, Shada?
Sure, yeah. I feel like a lot of people, like, I had no idea what OT was when I was in school, didn't even know it existed. When I was an undergrad, like, I was like a criminology major, was not even thinking about healthcare stuff. And then I think like going into my sophomore year, my grandfather had a stroke, and honestly, like him going through that experience was just like super transformational, for me, of just like watching him go through that experience. And he's still alive, you guys. So he's, you know, he's up and at it. And I, you know, owe a lot of it to, you know, the therapist that he was working with. But at the time, he was mainly just doing, like, PT, physical therapy. So I was like, okay, I'm going to change my major. I'm going to do physical therapy. And so in one of, like, my intro exercise science classes, the teacher would bring in different, like, professionals, like, each week to show that, like, you can do more with your degree than you realize, which I think is very important to showcase to students. And so one day, like, an OT came in and just, like, described her job of, like, creativity and science and just, like, all the cool things of, like, how so, like, it's so client-focused and individualized and unique. And I feel like I myself am a creative person and a very, like, people person. And so I was like, okay, this sounds more aligned with who I am as a person overall and, like, my values in a career. Yeah, so that was it. Like, we also had to, like, write a paper, like, which one of the professions that you heard do you want to pursue? And I was like, OT, I'm gonna do OT, I'm gonna, you know, blah 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 blah, and this is everything I need to do. And so, like, applying to grad schools, like, I actually applied the first go around, didn't get into any of the schools that I applied to, was really bummed out, thinking like, okay, maybe this isn't for me. So then I took a gap year of just trying to up my experience and, you know, beef up my resume. And I'm really grateful that I did that, because I got a lot of cool experiences out of it. And then the second go around, found out that USC existed. And I was like, I don't really think I'm going to get in. But, like, let me just apply just to say that I did it. But I'm definitely not going to get in. And then, yeah, at the time, I don't know if they still have this, but at the time you had, like, rounds that you had to go through. And so I got the email like, oh, you moved on to the second round. And I was like, oh, okay. So we're, like, doing this. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. But, like, I don't think I'm going to get in. And then... you know, getting the email of like, congratulations. And I remember the moment of like me getting off like shift at the hospital in the parking lot, like at Kroger trying to buy groceries, checking my email and seeing that email. And I'm like freaking out, like in my car and trying to keep a calm composure because everyone can see me. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how I found out about OT. And ever since then, it's been USC Trojan Chan life.
That's right. Fight on.
Fight on.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Jada. I never heard that story before. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, Mason, what about you? Let's hear your story.
Yeah. So I had the really unique privilege of being kind of immersed in occupational therapy since I was a child. Mm. So my mom's actually an occupational therapist. So my mother is a pediatric occupational therapist, and she's been one for almost 30 years now. So she's been doing it a long time. She's always had her own private practice, actually. And so growing up, I would have a lot of memories and a lot of experiences where it would just be me like watching her practice in her clinic and engaging with her clients. Yeah. So it was really a unique, and then when I say a privilege, it was really a privileged, unique opportunity because not many people get that like kind of close, like hands-on experience. And also like having a mom who was an OT, like I was always getting free OT. Now, not a lot of people know this, but when I was a kid, I definitely had some issues with my own sensory processing. So when I was young, I would in the classroom, like as I think I was about like 10 or so years old, I would like spin in circles, like in the classroom, like in the middle of class. Wow. So I had a really hard time like with my own self-regulation. And and then as soon as my teachers told my mom that, she was like, oh, like, I know what to do for that.
Mom said, like, I got this.
They're like, really, yeah, they're like, you can just pass it to me. She's like, we got this. And then one of the things that actually really helped me with that was actually swimming. Getting into swimming, it was such like a regulatory like activity that like I never spun too much after that, which is kind of funny. Wow. But lo and behold, besides that, growing up, like I had a lot of awesome experiences with OT. And I think what really drew me to it was not just like the fun and coolness of like of doing OT, but more like the impact it had on people. And specifically within like my mom's patients in pediatrics, she would see a patient since they were like a toddler, like all the way to they were like almost an adult. And so she would be a key part of their life for like years on end, and she would get to interact with them and help them develop into such like a fruitful, passionate and like meaningful person. And I think like that just idea that like the actions you take can help a person live like a fulfilling and meaningful life. Like that was something that really drew me to OT, is because you have like such a profound impact. And even if you're not seeing them for like years on end, even if you're just seeing them for a short amount of period of time, like it's that impact that I think really, I really love about OT is because of that. And hopefully like if you work really hard with your patients, like they'll remember you and remember like that you were able to help them with these different kinds of goals they have for themselves. I think that's why I like OT.
I wanna cry. Y'all, that's such like...
You should hit the
off
sound bar.
Right? We'll insert it in post. But that, like, that's such a beautiful... Yeah, like, you don't hear of many people being like, yeah, my mom was an OT, and, like, I was pretty much, like, regularly getting services. And, oh, my God, yeah, wow. That's amazing. I love that. I love that.
And I think it speaks a lot to, like, OT, like... elephant in the room, like not a lot of people know about OT, like and that's part of the reason why we're here like making this podcast, is to spread some awareness of the profession, because in a lot of circles, like in the healthcare field or in like pediatric fields and in all the different kinds of fields, like a lot of times OT has a really valuable like role it can play, but it's not being talked about.
We won't get into the tea this episode. Maybe another episode. But
that's true. That's true. That'd take too long. You're right. You're right. Just a taste. Just a tease. But we're hopefully we can get into that then throughout the season, because I think that'd be a good topic too. But for the sake of time, we'll keep moving on to the next question. This one's for you, Jada. How did you decide on USC Chan specifically? So you talked about how you found OT, you knew you wanted to do it, and you went through not one but two application cycles. So you really were passionate enough to keep on working with that. Why USC Chan?
Honestly, so I feel like some of my reasons will be kind of egotistical, and then some will be, I guess, more like logical, like focused approach. I don't even know what the right word is. So like one, I think USC Chan, like when I was like researching it, I was like, oh, this seems like a huge network and a lot of like connects and contacts that when I graduate, it doesn't seem like I will be like left in the dust. And I really like valued that in a school, especially with like the global connects. Like I love to travel, and I really have an interest in just like global healthcare systems. And so just like knowing all the different global connects that they had, I was like, okay, so this may sound bad. I was like, I can use this to my advantage. Because again, you guys, we're paying a lot of money for school. So it's not just what, you know, you get from the school, but what the school can give you. So that was one reason. And then another reason, which some people may think is or is not a good reason, is just like, I had been in Arkansas my whole life. And so I feel like to an Arkansan, and yes, that is what you guys should call us. to an Arkansan, like California is this like super big deal. Like any big city is like a super big deal. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like this is my chance to get out of Arkansas and just really grow as a person, get out of the environment that I grew up in and just see what all there is, you know, out there. Yeah, so I was like, why? Like, so the first go round, like, and the second go round, like, I didn't even apply to any schools in Arkansas because I thought, like, if I get into a school, then I'm just gonna stay there and like that's where I'll end up, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But for me, I really wanted to push myself to just grow in that aspect of my life. Yeah, and you know, it's had its ups and downs, its challenges, but I'm really glad that I chose USC Chan, not just, you know, for the experiences, but, you know, the people I've met and everything that's happened has happened for a reason. And the lessons I've learned have really, you know, I feel like have really matured me in a way. And I feel like I have more of like a stance on like certain issues and, you know, more passions about things and just even growing personally, like, you know, having patience when something is going awry or, you know, what it means, you know, to be an ambassador and to be a leader and, you know, what that looks like. Being involved in, you know, club orgs and taking on that leadership role, like how does that translate into, you know, your professional development? Yeah, so those are pretty much my reasons. Again, maybe not the best to some people, but I'm glad I stuck with it.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Jada. Yeah, of course. So I think for me, there's like for me it's kind of complicated because not only was it like OT grad school USC Chan, but I was thinking about like undergrad too because my program was combined. Right. So when I chose USC Chan, you know, I was 17. I was in high school also. Wow. We were in the middle of a global pandemic. But let's just ignore that fact because we don't want to talk about that.
Yes.
But,
yes.
So there's a lot of reasons for me. I think one, I had the rare opportunity to know I wanted to do OT since I was really young. And because of that, I was really driven and focused to find an OT program or an OT like track at the young age of 17. Like I knew that like for me that bachelor's degree was something that was just like a step in the process of like the bigger goal that I had of an OT degree. And so for me, I definitely was really focused on schools that had the opportunity to accelerate that timeline, right? Wow. What is the best opportunity for me to get like into become an OT as fast as possible?
Oh my gosh.
And so that was, I definitely think one of the big reasons was, is that there's not many accelerated programs out there. There is a few in the US, but there's not too many. And USC Chan, at the time had the number one, bachelor's program and the number one doctoral program. And that was something that, that meant a lot to me too. It was a little bit of an ego too, like number one school, like pretty cool.
You gotta flex
like,
a little.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also like, what I'm saying right now is like definitely the reasons that were really influencing me, like at my younger self. I think right now my reasons are like a completely different set of reasons than I had before. And I think one of the earlier reasons too, when I was young, is also like I really, it was really about like, you know, making my parents proud, like going to a college that I thought they would like approve of and stuff like that, because you know when you're young, especially me, like when I was younger, like that was something that was really impactful to me. I think one of the bigger lessons like I learned through that though, like going through undergrad and going through grad school, was that it couldn't just be a decision for other people, it had to be a decision for myself actually. And I think that was like the biggest lesson I learned in undergrad, was that like this experience wasn't gonna be the best experience it could be, like I wasn't making the most of it unless I was doing it for myself. And so I think if I look at like why I said why USC Chan now, that's why I said it's a lot different than why I initially came here. Like initially I really wanted to follow just directly my mother's footsteps, you know, go to OT school, maybe even work with her in her practice. But then once I came here and began to learn more about OT and more about the other practice settings, I realized that I actually think I have a stronger passion for a different area of OT than pediatrics. And so it's just like those little things like that where I was starting to like find myself in it, like find those little bits and pieces that like really had like an impactful connection to myself. And so for like why USC Chan, yeah, it's like really, I see USC Chan as like having just like a plethora of opportunities. Like there are so many ways in which you can kind of make the most of it, like make it your own kind of goal in that way.
Right.
And so that's what I like about it, like to this day, is that like I have my own passions, I have my own goals. You have the means to kind of learn more about them and gain the tools for them. Like professors are really accessible. Like, so like when I had adult rehab, like I always see my adult rehab professor in the hallway and we always have conversations and I can always ask them about that. And it's like those little things where it's like, even though it's not always focused on exactly what you want to do, right? Because you're getting like a holistic like education. You really have those opportunities, which I really enjoy.
Wow. Quick question, especially since, you know, we're both out of state like students, and at your young age, like was location ever like a factor for you when you were deciding like, I'm going to do an accelerated path, or like how was that like moving at 17 from Connecticut to California?
It was a transition for sure. And I think like when you ask like did location play a role, you're like, yeah, it really did. It also played a role in like my identity. So I am an openly gay man. And not to say that, you know, the East Coast isn't super liberal. It's very liberal there on the East Coast. But I wanted to immerse myself in, like, I wanted the opportunity to immerse myself in a really diverse, like, body of individuals. Like, a very diverse, like, experience. And, like, what better opportunity than that than Los Angeles, right? Like,
right.
And I think, like, I honestly, like, got even more of that than I expected I would. Like, when I came here, like, it was definitely a huge culture shock for me, just because there was so many different kinds of people with different experiences and different backgrounds. And it was just like, and USC itself is a big school, right? We have over like 20,000 undergraduate students. And so like coming from just like a small town with like, what, like 100 students in my grade, like it was crazy. Yeah. But I definitely think like it was crazy in a good way. Like, I really wanted opportunities, and I think that's kind of what I found here, was, like, so many different kinds of people, But yeah, the transition was a bit crazy. That's for sure. Oh my gosh. Also just being away from home for the first time, like, right. And being so far away from home too.
Yeah. But you did it and you're here now. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Oops. So that's pretty crazy. Do you plan on going back?
I know I get this question every time. I don't think so. I think this feels like, I feel like I have outgrown the environment that I was raised in. And I've been in it for so long that I think it's time for me to find roots somewhere else. Like, I will always have roots back in Arkansas and friends and family that I can see. But I think now I need to continue to branch out and just find somewhere else to go. Yeah. Love Arkansas though. Don't know if I'll stay in LA, but mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I probably will not go back for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Would you go practice with your mom?
I think that's a good question. I think there's a lot of factors in it too. A little fun fact about me is once I came to California, my family actually was like, well, no more Connecticut. And so they moved to Washington State. So like up north, like right. So it's like, that's a whole nother like thing about like, wow, like moving there. It's like, there's a whole thing there. But for me, I don't have necessarily like any state or like specific like destination in mind, like after I graduate. I think personally, like for me, my best choice financially is I'm probably going to go home at least for a few years, and live back at home, you know, kind of figure myself out, get my footing, as a therapist. But I'm excited to, you know, I'm kind of open to see what like the future holds. Yeah. So we'll see. For now, I'll go back to Washington for now, but where I end up, no one really knows yet. So
wow. That sounds so classy though. I'll go back to Washington.
People always think I mean Washington, D.C., and I was like, no. This is, like, up. Like, Washington. We got, like, the forests and the clouds and the trees. It's really pretty there, actually.
Yeah.
I've actually really enjoyed exploring there.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So, let's see. The next question we have is, what is the biggest lesson you've learned so far in OT school? The deep one.
That is a deep one. The biggest lesson I have learned. Ooh. This may be a controversial lesson.
Okay.
Let me just start off with that. I'll try to make it. Honestly, the biggest lesson that I've learned is just to speak up. And that can apply to a lot of different things. Speak up when you have interests that you want to explore more about. Speak up when there's things in class that you don't agree with. Speak up when there's, issues going on that you feel like can be improved. I feel like sometimes as students, I can get aggravated sometimes with like how things are ran or like, why aren't we talking about this, subject? And I think I've gotten to the point in life where I'm like, I don't care too much what other people think of me as long as I know that I did what I could to stand up for someone else or stand up for myself. So yeah, not to say that when I say speak up, like you have to speak up about everything that's going on. But yeah, I mean, like if there's something that interests you, like talk to a professor or talk to, someone that that you can trust about this interest. And like that can open so many like doors for you and opportunities. But no one will never know. Like if you don't say anything, like we can't read each other's minds. And I think once you just learn how to like speak up for yourself, I think you'll find out that you have more power than you realize. Yeah. What about you, Mason?
I think mine's also a little controversial in its own way, but it's also kind of like a lesson, the biggest lesson I've learned, like becoming like an independent adult. And it's that idea that it's like, when you get to college, and really especially when you get into graduate school, it's a lot of the motivation to like succeed and excel, like that has to come from you. And it's a lot less of like when you're younger and you have your family and you have, you know, your peers and things, like there's a lot more of like people around you like pushing you towards those goals. But when you become more of like an independent adult in these kind of really independent fields, like it's part of it's really up to you to make the most of your time and really motivate yourself to pursue these things. And I think for me, one of the biggest lessons I learned was that to maximize my time here meant that I had to push myself further than, you know, just taking my classes, you know, just completing my assignments. It was about like actually like engaging in the content that I had. I mean, kind of making your own like content in a way, like making your own opportunities, like asking questions about content, like kind of what you're talking about, though, like not necessarily included in curriculum. Like it's those like little pieces that can really like, I just want to say like specialize your time. And the biggest lesson I learned is it's kind of up to you to like push yourself to that. And if you don't push yourself to that, I mean, you'll still, you know, you can still succeed. You'll still become a great therapist.
Right.
But you might miss out on some really awesome like opportunities by not kind of like motivating yourself in that area. And that's hard too, because it's like, it's hard.
I definitely agree. Once you're out there on your own, buddy, you got to start. Yeah. You got to start doing it for you, because no one's going to tell you to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely agree. Crazy.
Yeah. All right. So next, I just wanted to engage you all in a little discussion about kind of our goals for this season. And just so you guys can kind of have a preview for what we want to make of this season. We don't have a long time with you guys. only a little less than a year you'll have with me and Jada, but we really want to make the most of that. I mean, we really want to create some awesome content for you all. And I think, one thing that Jada and I were talking about was a new area of content for this podcast that hasn't really been like a focus per se, is we really want to focus on some of the aspects of the student experience of an occupational therapy student. Because there's a lot of information out there on, you know, what does it look like to be an occupational therapist? What does it look like to be an occupational scientist? But there's not necessarily those perspectives on like the lived experience of these OT students. And although, you know, you're not an OT student for that long, it's a really meaningful, informative period of your life. And I think there's a lot of untold stories that have a lot of value.
Again, of just agreeing with what Mason was saying of showing more of a student perspective, but also showcasing, you know, some of the professionals and students that we have here at USC Chan. And so hopefully you get to hear other people's voices on this podcast. Just taking a deeper dive into what USC Chan has to offer, some of the cool things that our students and professors are doing. And really just wanting to make this a podcast that anyone can listen to. Like, you don't necessarily have to be someone deep in occupational therapy to understand what's going on. And especially to people to students who are considering OT school and USC Chan. I think me and Mason have different lived experiences that can relate to a lot of listeners, and hopefully some of the people that we bring on as guests, like, you'll find someone that you can relate to as well.
And with that, that's all the questions we have for today. But thank you guys so much for listening today. Hopefully you guys got to know a little bit more about us. We're excited to get to know you through the rest of the season. And hopefully we'll have some special guests joining us on our next episode, which we'll have a really great time making some new content with that. But as a closer, Jada has prepared a really special announcement for you all.
Okay. I mean, definitely let me know in the comments or a DM how we feel about this. But we're going to try to do a corny joke at the end of every episode. Okay. So I'm going to find... Okay. My thing is, I think everything's funny, even though it's so stupid. Okay. What did one toilet say to the other?
What?
What did one toilet say to the other?
What?
Oh. I thought you couldn't hear me. Okay. They said, you appear a bit flushed.
The rating's like way down.
All of a sudden, we only have one listener.
Oh, well, that's all we have for you today, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed, and remember to fight on.
Fight on.